Now, friends, we return back to the 26th chapter of Acts, and I'm putting in today at verse 29. You will notice that Paul, giving this masterly and marvelous discourse, the proclamation of the gospel to King Agrippa. He was first interrupted by Festus, and now King Agrippa interrupted him and said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Now you can see that Agrippa was the man that Paul was after. He wanted to win him for Christ. And now Paul, when the man says, "Almost thou persuadest me," Paul says, "Almost won't do. It's altogether or nothing. Either you accept Christ or you don't accept Christ." And friends, actually salvation is something that no theologian can probe the depths of it. But it's also simple enough for ordinary folk like most of us are to understand that either you have Christ or you don't have Christ. Either you trust Christ or you don't trust Christ. Either he's your Savior or he's not your Savior. It's one of the two. There's no such thing as middle ground. And it's not almost. It has to be altogether. And the remarkable thing is, Paul says, "I wish you were like I am, but not these bonds. I wouldn't want to put this chain on you." Now, this is the man who was a proud and zealous Pharisee. And this is the man that a few years before, he would have bound Christians in chains and put them to death. Now his attitude's different. He wants them to become Christians and have a vital and personal relationship with Jesus Christ as he has. That is, have a transaction with Christ. My friend, we need to come to grips with him. That's the thing that is important. But Paul doesn't want them to be in chains. One thing I think is clear here, a mighty transformation had taken place in Saul of Tarsus. And what's the explanation? Well, Jesus was alive. He was back from the dead. This is the thing he'd said at the beginning. He says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" There's nothing unreasonable about that. 1900 years of man's development in knowledge and in many fields makes this all the more likely even today. Actually, it's easier for you to believe in the resurrection than it was in that day. If it's true, there is another judgment. There is another throne, and Jesus is on it, and there's another prisoner. Either you have bowed to him, either you've accepted him, or you're going to come before him someday. I tell you, the resurrection is very important to the unsaved man as well as to the saved man. Now will you notice verse 30? "And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Paul's going to Rome now, which is quite obvious. And the question is, did he do right in appealing to Caesar? And as we've said, there are those that feel like Paul made a mistake. No, he didn't make a mistake. Two reasons. You're going to find out that he's going to Rome because he'd prayed to go that way and had urged others to pray. Over in the epistle to the Romans, and this was before Paul visited there, verse 10 and 11, he says, "Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." Well, he's going to Rome. Now, you may question the fact whether he had a prosperous journey or not. I have a friend in the ministry who years ago ran a series of messages for young people, which were tremendous, by the way. And the title of the series was, the theme, Paul's Prosperous Journey to Rome. And it was a prosperous journey. I think he's in the will of God when he made that.